To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora!
Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff.
It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
Good morning and welcome to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. And before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land from where we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. So welcome to So Hot Right Now, back again for another week of arts and culture as per usual. Thankfully, I have a little bit more of a voice than I did last week. Thank you so much for bearing with me during that rather dark time. But hopefully I'll just let the guests that we have on the show speak volumes instead of you hearing my rather croaky and gross voice. And the guests that we have on today are pretty eclectic and great as always. We are talking about One Solar, which is an exhibition happening at UNSW Galleries and for a Centre for Contemporary Asian Art. I'll be joined by Paula Skaffhausen, who's one of the amazing artists featured in the 4A side of the exhibition. This work is all about water and the ocean and, broadly speaking, the climate crisis and climate justice. So I'm really excited to get stuck into that a little bit later. We also have I Woke Up Like This, which is our fortnightly comedy segment. And this week it's featuring the Noodle Girls, which are a total favourite on So Hot Right Now. I've had the pleasure of speaking to them in the past, and they are doing a sketch comedy segment for you today. But first up on the show, we are talking about This Is Who I Am, which is a current exhibition at Verge Gallery, openly exploring and imploding the experience of being queer Asian Australian. So there's obviously a lot for you to look forward to get us a little bit warmed up before we have that story. I'm going to take a track from 3070. This is off their latest album. This is NYP. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Hey.
Sydney Outdoor Bed Cinema is back. Watch a movie under the stars from the comfort of a bed. Yes, that's right, a bed. The comfiest cinema experience, Movie in Bed, has landed on the rooftop of the Entertainment Quarter. Get food by Fratelli Fresh, El Camino or the Bavarian Beer Cafe delivered to your bed for the perfect night out this summer. Book your bed online at movieinbed.com. MOVINBED.com. 2SER sponsors.
And welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. That track there was from 37, that was NYP. And right now we are talking about This Is Who I Am, which is an exhibition that delves headfirst into the experience of being queer Asian Australian, answering, asking and exploring questions of familial connection, cultural expectations and the binary conflicts on the disparities of the East and West. So for this show, curator Sharon Hong has brought together a beautiful array of artists, including Athena Thebus, Suman Shim, Lily Lay, to name a few. So here to tell us a little bit more about the project is Sharon herself. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
No problem. Anytime. So let's start with your inspiration for the project. When did you start kind of developing This Is Who I Am? And what were you looking at? What motivated you to get here?
I mean, the fact that personally, I'm also queer Asian. So that was one of my...
Thought that might be the case.
Yeah. Biggest inspiration. But also I managed to assist my mentor, Kelly Doyley, in a project called The Feminist South. So I was able to make my own sort of research and all that. And I was just like, well, I'm queer and I'm Asian and I want to work with artists who have sort of a feminist touch to their practice. So I was like, this is how I'm going to go with the exhibition. So, yeah.
And so there are a great array of artists, as I briefly alluded to before. What drew you to the particular artists that you did choose and what were you looking for in works for this exhibition?
I mean, the artists that I decided to pick were artists that were kind of bicultural in terms of identity through being either Korean, Australian. So they have the two cultures kind of coinciding with each other, as well as artists that are either bicultural in relation to being half Asian and another sort of most likely a Caucasian sort of westernized sort of influence that they had through their life. So that was the kind of motivation that I had in picking my artists.
So one of my favourite artists that is in the exhibition is Athena Thebus.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about their work? She's told me about it, but I love it.
I mean, in relation to my exhibition, her work kind of explores her personal kind of childhood connection with her girlfriend in relation to having that sort of pop icon, Britney Spears fantasy, that kind of developed into their own queer sort of desire for a popular like star. And that's how they develop that sort of kind of queer identity. So her work definitely explores on the idea of desire. And
also someone told me that there's an engagement of sense. Is that true?
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Sense. I mean, the fact that like the whole work is just kind of in your face visually, like there's that sort of use of sense in relation to like you see the work and you're like, wow, okay, that's a very sensual and intimate sort of image. And people are like,
can you tell us what it is?
You mean the image?
Yeah.
Oh, should I give it away?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an image of Athena and her girlfriend. They're dressed up in sort of like a surreal fantasy elven like sort of characterization in the image. And also in the image there, it's assisted with a swing, a resin swing that comes down. And I feel like there's like a sense of that juxtaposition with the swing being like a sense of childhood innocence and then the really overt image of the two really sensually making out in the scene in the back. So, yeah.
Awesome. And also featured is Zoe Wong, who's an artist that uses drawing and photography and performance in her artistic practice.
Yeah.
How is her work intersecting with this particular project?
So definitely her scrolls looks at a bit of humor in relation to sort of the day-to-day things that she hears from other people about her being Asian but also Australian. So a lot of times it's sort of like, is she yellow? Is she white? So there's that sort of understanding, like, am I actually more Asian or am I actually more Australian? So there's that kind of discourse and trying to understand, like, am I, where do I go? Like, who am I?
Is that something that came up a lot in all the works or not?
Definitely. I feel like sort of the connection that I had with all the artists is their kind of the use of language as being a way to sort of be seen as the language being that it's a bit of a disconnect. So if you're Korean or if you're Chinese and then you spoke English for most of your life, there's that sort of sense of, am I translating this right?
So language kind of in the form of labeling?
Or? Language through poetry,
right,
language
okay.
through the scrolls that Zoe did in relation to using humor and language in relation to one of the artists, EJ Son, is using it to tattoo herself, so marking herself with the word Atta, which is kind of a mesh hybrid of being a daughter and a son. So it look kind of plays on the idea of what gender identity is as well.
So the exhibition explores both the Asian diaspora and the Australian LGBTQI community.
Yeah.
So in curating the show, was there anything that kind of came up that surprised you, or did you kind of learn anything as a curator through kind of talking to all these artists and selecting their work?
I mean, definitely. I mostly learned a lot about their own personal experiences and kind of felt like, oh, yeah, I also experienced that. So a lot of the times the artists had very similar experiences, even though they themselves are from different parts of Asia, but then you'll feel that sort of sense of you're here in Australia and yet you do feel a bit of a disconnect of being Asian but then Australian.
Yeah, it's a diaspora kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, it is.
I guess. So this exhibition coincides with Queer Stories. Was that your intention? Is there a collaboration we can expect there?
Yeah. So in terms of Queer Stories, I kind of want to bring in the community. So most likely young audiences from the university, bringing in people to just come in, queer audiences to come in and kind of talk about recent issues, political issues, social issues in relation to being LGBT in Australia, but also kind of looking at the further issues of being LGBT in Asia, definitely.
And this exhibition's already been open for a few days. Yeah. How have people been interacting with the works?
So a lot. I've gotten a lot of people saying that they were definitely like engaged in terms of like seeing that the POC community is sort of being like there's not enough opportunity. So a lot of them were like, I'm so happy to see this exhibition in the space because there hasn't been or no or little representation in relation to having a specific queer Asian exhibition in Australia. So I did get a lot of positive comments about that.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And just one last question. Mm-hmm. If in an ideal world there was anything that you would want your audiences to take away from seeing This Is Who I Am, what might that be?
I mean, hopefully it'll just be a way for people to kind of see that there are Asian artists in Sydney, because I feel like that, you know, there needs more exposure in relation to that as well. And I just hope maybe someone will see the exhibition and they'll be like, wow, okay, so this is happening in Asia.
Bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah. Mm. Like, this is something that needs to be heard and said, and the artists need that sort of space.
Totally. Yeah. That's a great intention.
Yes.
And also, yeah, there's maybe, what, 6 artists in this exhibition, which is a really small percentage of what is out there in Sydney and Australia.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Beyond. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
So that was Sharon. She was talking about This Is Who I Am, which is an exhibition at Verge Gallery over at the University of Sydney. And it's open now until February 7th, and it's totally free. So make sure you go and check that all out. I am going to take a track now. This is from Lupa J. And you are tuned in to So Hot Right Now. We'll be back with a little bit more content just around the corner. This is Half Alive.
Here we are again in smoke-stained clothes, awake, drunk ourselves to death. Now the dress we want and taste. Two idiots with lingering anger of what's will never quite remember. Still no one has the answer, which is suddenly too sober. And the tighter you try to hold me,
CR is celebrating 40 years of supporter-funded radio. As part of the festivities, join us on Friday, October 4 for a very special edition of the Bands Next Door live from the loft at UTS. expect to be charmed and heartbroken by folk maiden Lisa Caruso. Thrilled by the rock and roll sounds of cult outfit The Holy Soul, and get that warm embrace of classic indie styles thanks to Bland. Doors from 7, music from 8, and free entry all night. Tour CR, 40 years of stories, ideas, and live music.
Sophie with Immaterial, probably one of my favourite tracks of all time. And up the top there, you heard from Lupa J with Half Alive. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. And it is just a little bit past 11:20, which means it is time for I Woke Up Like This, which is our fortnightly sketch comedy segment. And this week, feature comedians are the Noodle Girls. And if you haven't heard of the Noodle Girls, they're a sketch comedy duo and self-described as two slippery suckers who promise silliness and absurdity to make you laugh either out of joy or fear. And for this particular sketch, they're very excited to be bringing you a very important educational PSA targeting women feeling boxed in about the kind of work shoes they can wear. So this is the Noodle Girls.
Yeah, Zach's gonna pass out, so we gotta do this quick.
We can't wear our flats to a place like Bar Broadway.
Do the bit.
Ass like a ballet dancer.
We're already in the desert of the cancelled people, man.
Oh, my nippies!
I just feel like shit. Yeah.
What? How do you feel?
Yeah, and I was like running, so I was just like...
Remember the guy who created the ShamWow?
Hey, just as one quick question, Devil. What is the greatest trick you've ever pulled?
Woohoo!
Hubba, hubba.
Objection.
I won't object to that.
I woke up like this.
Oh my god, Rochelle. I totally forgot it was Alana's farewell drinks tonight.
Lara, which one's Alana again?
She wore that play suit at the Christmas party.
What?
You know, it was like a play suit and it had a belt.
No.
It was like a play suit with a belt.
Sorry?
It was like the one with a belt.
Oh, yeah. She's the fat one, right?
Yeah, well, she's going on maternity leave, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. This email says drinks are at 6. We won't have enough time to pop home and grab our heels.
Oh, it's fine.
Lara, it's at Bar Broadway. We can't wear our flats to a place like Bar Broadway.
Oh, all good, actually. I'm just going to wear my mules.
Your what?
Oh, Rochelle, I'm a mule girl now.
Lara, what is that?
I could tell you, or I could explain it to you in a song. Hit it!
I'm a mule girl, don't you know? I love a thick heel, sometimes a peep toe.
Lara, what's going on?
Just watch me go, you'll get the gist. They're a fun little shoe, good for work and play. Darling Hubba by night and Westfield by day.
Hold on, you're telling me that this shoe is work to drinks? The middle ground between flats and heels?
You're goddamn right. And it can't be as all hell. Times are changing, Rochelle. If you don't believe me, here, try pair. I always make sure that I carry a spare. No, like this.
Laces or straps, it's a fun little heel that really slaps. Slap, 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 slap.
We're mule girls, don't you know?
I can feel the breeze on my heel and big toe.
When my shoe hits the ground, it makes a clash. I have a pair at home with a sleeper.
Not to be confused with a clog or a slide, the mule is a style that's hot worldwide.
They're defined by the feature of the open ankle, but the mule has the power to flatter any cable.
A beautiful companion to a midi-length dress, or with a cropped pant is when they look best.
Still lettuce?
No thanks.
Kitten heels?
Get lost.
Birkenstock?
Spunk right off. B to the M to the E, we got big mule energy.
Uh-huh.
I can feel it in my toes and now you know, mules are the way to go.
Everybody know
Westfield.
Ooh. Get it from the head to the toe.
Big toe.
Uh-huh. I said mules are the way to go.
Uh-huh. Hi, we're the Noodle Girls. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're actually here today not doing comedy, but we're doing a bit of an educational PSA.
We're really targeting women, basically, who feel boxed in terms of the kind of work shoe they can wear.
When we say boxed in, we do mean that middle ground between either flats or heels.
It's often a weird territory and can be quite uncomfortable. But we are raising awareness of a shoe which is the way of the future.
It is the trailblazer of feet housing. I don't think we've got to say much more, but we hope this turns heads and changes lives. Hooroo! Ta-ta!
I woke up like this.
That was the Noodle Girls with their sketch Mule Girls, part of our fortnightly sketch comedy segment, I Woke Up Like This. To follow the Noodle Girls, check out their Instagram, which is Noodle Girls, and that is with six O's, and their Facebook page, which is just The Noodle Girls. And if you want to follow this sketch comedy segment and see what else is coming up there, there is a Instagram, which is iWokeUpLikeThis_pod, or search for I Woke Up Like This on Spotify, and you can listen back to them there. I'm going to play a little bit more music. It is 11:30, so that means we've got one more story coming up, so stay with us. This is Udmo with Luba Left. You're tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Thank you. Spending all my life so long, waiting for you to call me. You're the only one I want by my side when I fall asleep. Tell me what I'm waiting for. Tell me what I'm waiting for. I know I'm sorry, but we need each other. No, I'm sorry, but we need each other. I'm on my wings on my own, don't need nobody, yo. Share your mind when I change my life. Better start believing in myself. And we all out looking for, looking for God. So we never see it in ourselves. Shit divine in the venture and movie style. It's hard to tell what a prayer compels. You can find me dancing in between the range. Just trying to find a way to make the pain stop. All the time on the graveyard. Got a nigga feeling drowned. My instant feeling these trademark. Copywritten in all my decisions. This is not supposed to be a way of living. Turn my temple down into a prison.
Spend all my time before I need to call. You're the only one I want by my side when I fall asleep. Tell me what I'm waiting for. Tell me what I'm waiting for. I know I'm sorry, but we need each other. Know I'm sorry, but we need each other.
Yeah, back on Vince with the braces on. You slide out the back without the neighbors knowing. For the picture with the pearly whites, deadlands zooming in, catching all my strikes. Use trade drone for some money, and she gave me all I need for the night. 40 survives, morally alright, but I need some advice, and I know that I'm acting foolish. Prince put me up around noonish. Half a blood, yeah, we coolin'. Prince it up on all outcasts, 100 days eating, yeah, we cruising.
Ooh, and I love you right.
Behind Clip Music Video Festival comes Clip TV Premieres. Check out the latest unreleased music videos from Australia's most talented artists and filmmakers. Join our next premiere on January 21, where we showcase videos from Donny Benet, Parker, Forrest Blaine, Sam Newton, and more. Screenings are followed by exclusive Q&As with the creators, then a networking happy hour. Tickets available from ourgoldenage.com.au. 2CR Partners.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. Right there we heard from Brockhampton with Sugar off their latest album, which I'm currently really into at the moment. And then just before that we heard from Edmo, that was Luba Lift. And right now we are talking about One Solara, One Saltwater, which is happening as part of Sydney Festival. It is a multifaceted project taking place at both 4A Centre for Contemporary Asian Art and UNSW galleries. So combining performance, art and conversation, this project celebrates the diversity of contemporary visual and material culture throughout the Pacific and the Great Ocean. So I'm joined by one of those featured artists. This is Paula Schaffhausen, whose work entitled Ebbing to Gola is currently on display at 4A Centre for Contemporary Asian Art. Good morning, Paula.
Talofa lava. Thank you very much for having me here today. And it's pronounced Ebing Tangaloa.
Tangaloa, thank you so much for correcting me.
No worries.
Would you be able to start just with explaining a little bit more about One Solara and what that term means and how that might inform? Oh, so it's a pidgin word from the Solomon Islands, meaning one salt water or one ocean, one people. Do you have any connection to that term, or does that really, does that mean anything to you?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're all connected by the ocean. Yeah, so the Pacific is the biggest ocean in the world, but, you know, we're, everyone in the world is connected by the sea. So, yeah, it means everything to everyone, I think.
And the sea and the ocean is really central to your work specifically, and your work kind of talks about climate change as well. Kind of what inspired you to explore these concepts in your practice?
Well, really, it was just watching the news and being super bummed out that this was actually happening. And the Pacific Islands and any low-lying islands really around the world are going to be majorly affected within the next 20 to 30 years, where, you know, most of their low-lying beachfront area is going to be washed away. And it's quite horrifying. And, yeah, it just really kind of resonated with me, because I just thought about all the beaches that had grown up looking at as a kid and swimming in, and it's like, my goodness, all those villages and places are going to be not there soon. And, you know, like all those families that have graves, you know, their families' graves and stuff. And once you take people away from land, that's when you start losing language and culture. So, you know, that's pretty much, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be displaced and, you know, climate refugees very shortly.
100%, if not already.
Exactly.
And was there a specific inspiration behind the work that you're exhibiting for this exhibition?
My inspiration was, I was trying to have a conversation, you know, like I said, firstly about my fears. And so I wanted to find something that kind of united us all. So I chose a tiki ornament from the Cook Islands, because they are the only island that actually still represents the god figure. But we are all connected in the Pacific through Tangaloa. So Tangaloa is the prominent god. It's just said in, you know, different ways, Tangaroa, depending on where you're from, Kangaloa in Hawaii. But he's supposed to be the prominent god for all of our Pacific Islands, ancient prominent god. So I chose that figurine. And, yeah, and I just wanted to make a work that sort of spoke about all the Pacific Islands and not just one in general, not just Samoa, Mike Island. Yeah, so that just sort of kind of fitted in quite beautifully, that I could find, you know, make a sculpture out of that.
Yeah, and the sculpture is made out of coconut oil and found materials. So obviously the materiality of this work is one of the most interesting elements. What drew you to these materials in particular?
Well, I wanted to do something that was about, you know, disappearing and melting away. And so I tried to do it out of water, but that just became problematic. And then one day, actually, I was in the bathroom in New Zealand, and in, you know, different tape wrenches, coconut oil actually hardens, or, you know, turns into liquid. And so I was like, oh, that's hard. And I thought, oh, let me try doing it out of coconut oil. So that was really like a happy sort of, you know, coincidence, and a kind of, you know, one of those moments where you go, oh, eureka.
It's actually the perfect material.
Yeah, yeah, because it also speaks about the Pacific Islands as well.
In so, what sense?
Well, coconut, you know, anything to do with coconut oil, you know, that smell. So, yeah, it's good, because it adds a sense of fragrance to the show as well.
Yeah, so definitely. It's a really strong kind of sensory experience in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so embedded, so the sculptures of Tangaloa and embedded in the coconut oil are different kind of materials. I've seen oysters and kind of leafy things, and also rubbish. So what's the kind of commentary there?
Well, I wanted to collect high tide sort of debris that washes up onto the oceans the beaches around Sydney, because all I think it's important that the works actually are part and parcel of where they're being shown. So I just thought that the high tide sort of wash up, you know, whatever comes up on the ocean, it's like, that's eventually going to be, you know, kind of what happens later on when all the oceans rise. So,
and when you've done this work in other locations, have the materials been vastly different or kind of similar?
It's usually coconut oil based. I've done a show where I've used cacao, so coco Samoa, which is the pure cocoa. So, and that's a killer smell as well. So, So, and that was more of a conversation about my European and Samoan ancestry. So, like when the first Europeans moved to Samoa, they brought like coffee, Coco, you know, like, and yeah. So it was that sort of conversation as well.
Yeah, kind of all the materials or resources of colonization, particularly cacao and coffee as well. And so obviously the coconut oil, as you mentioned, has a scent, but it also will change every day, every minute. And what does that kind of transformation and destruction mean conceptually in this work for you?
I just think that it speaks quite simply to what I'm trying to say about global warming and just how it's changed. You know, it's so changeable. Weather is so changeable now. I mean, look outside. It's crazy weather. And then, you know, 2 days ago it was like booming hot.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a conversation that, you know, everything changes so fast. And, yeah, and just with what's happening with all the temperatures rising, it's like once things melt away, it's never going to be what it was before. So it's like, you know, those statues and sculptures will never be the same, even though they might harden, but they'll never, ever come back the way that they were supposed to.
It must be interesting kind of making a work knowing that it's going to be ephemeral. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so you're being exhibited alongside a lot of other artists, both at 4A and across UNSW galleries. What do you think there is to be said for the conversation between the different works and the artists on display through One Solara?
I think it's an amazing sort of conversation because they're very powerful works throughout the whole of both galleries, and I just think it's just it's nice that it's a show that is about, it seems to me, about Indigenous artists and about sort of their conversation. So it's always lovely to see, you know, Indigenous artists being praised and like being allowed to show in these amazing spaces. So I think it's powerful stuff.
Definitely. And then I guess also, as you mentioned, in the context of climate, particularly at the moment where everything is extremely volatile, it's a nice kind of commentary on things.
Yeah, because, looking at your bushfires, I mean, if Indigenous knowledge was actually utilised prior to these massive burnings, it's like maybe they wouldn't have happened so severely. So
it's
you don't have to look far to get the answers that you need, possibly, you know, like there are people that already know
and have some for good, hundreds and thousands of years.
Know stuff that could possibly help. So, you know, that could be something that, you know, it seems to be the way the world is turning, like people are looking more to Indigenous kind of cultures to, you know, help with climate change and stuff. But, you know, and it's like, it's nice that those conversations are actually being had.
And if there was something that you would want audiences to kind of take away from viewing your work, what might that be?
I don't know. I just want them to feel moved. And like, I wanted to make a work that was simple to understand. Because, you know, I mean, I struggle with kind of getting into art myself, and I actually want people to, you know, touch the sculptures when they're melted on, you know. And
oh, really?
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
it's coconut oil. Yeah, you know, put it on your skin. It's coconut oil. It's, you know, you're allowed to do it. And that's what I actually wanted to allow as well, because, you know, you go on any show, it's like, don't touch the work. Don't stand back, you know. So it's like quite nice to be able to go up to, you know, something and be allowed to touch it. Yeah.
Yeah, it brings a whole kind of different understanding.
Yeah, well, it's a story, you know, my work, I really wanted to do, you know, have a conversation with everyone, because it's not just about, you know, like one little island in the middle of the Pacific. It's like, this is going to affect absolutely everyone. It's not just, something that's not going to be, you know, touched by everybody.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for talking to us on the show this morning. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So I've just been speaking with Paula Skaphausen, one of the featured artists at One Solara, One Saltwater, which is a project that crosses UNSW galleries as well as 4A Centre for Contemporary Asian Art. Alongside both exhibitions, there's a great series of programs. Today at UNSW, there's a symposium which is happening until 5 p.m. And then also tomorrow, there's a panel discussion at 4A, which Paula is speaking on, along with a scientist and I think a journalist. So there'll be a really fruitful conversation there if you'd like to hear more of what Paula has to say. And right now, I'm going to play a song from GL to take us up to the end of the show. This is Night Habit. 5 to midday on your Saturday morning, which means it is almost out. We are almost out of art and culture time. Thank you so much for listening. We are here every Saturday morning from 11 a.m. till midday, talking you through all the things best, all the best things in Sydney's arts and culture scene. And if you miss anything on today's show, just head to our show page. If you look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SCR website, you can find out all the info and tickets and details for everything there. And until next time, I'm going to play this track. This is Sampa the Great with Leading Us Home. And I will see you all next week.
Outside, no ashy. Not like a yo, it's not who you impressing. No rush, no flashing. Just us in passion, we'll be love. I'm speaking in tongues, and now I'm reading you out. And all the bitches out here writing themselves. What's your direction? And we don't train to be loved. Sometimes it happens, and it's happening now. What's your intention? I feel it. Unhinging the dark. I gotta ask a question. Break the walls, my heart. We ride back to the start. No need for expectations. Start with nothing, and the heart ended. I mentioned the leading.